I want to start, Kyle, by talking about the fact that Trial by Jury, The Case of the N-Word, is a film, but it's also an experience. But I want to start by having you talk about the film, what the story is that you're telling.
Well, as you mentioned, Trial by Jury, The Case of the N-Word, is a multimedia experience in that the audience is first treated to a 30-minute film. And in that film, what we see is the depiction of a trial followed by a jury deliberation. The trial is the result of a lawsuit brought by parents of a 9-year-old girl who's in the fourth grade. And while at school during February, Black History Month, her teacher decided to teach the class a lesson on Black history. And in the course of talking about marchers in the South and the Civil Rights Movement and their heroism and all the adversity that they faced with dogs and water hoses and hecklers, the teacher inadvertently, or not actually so inadvertently, but deliberately, chooses to use the N-word. The little girl returns home that day and tells her parents what she has learned at school, and the parents are incensed. They are very bothered by the fact that the school has taken the liberty of introducing that word to their daughter. They had specifically chosen to shield her from that word. And they felt that if, in fact, the school was going to teach that lesson and to use that language, that at the least the school should have sought some parental consent. The school, on the other hand, puts forth a very affirmative defense in saying, yes, we use the word, we intended to use the word, because we think that the subject of Black history needs a much more authentic approach. We think that too often the subject matter is given short shrift, and we wanted to delve more deeply into some of the more harsher realities that come from that history. And so we shared that word with the class, and we believe that the educational environment is the most appropriate forum for that kind of language. It's certainly better than the children learning that same language on the street corner. Mm. And so you've got this lawsuit, and you've got a defense to that lawsuit. And then in the film, we watch 12 people go into a room and sequestered as a jury, and we watch them deliberate and try to come to a verdict on this issue. And as you might imagine, their discussion becomes very passionate. There's a nice cross-section of America represented in the room, people of different demographic profiles, and you get a spectrum of opinions that are expressed during that deliberation. Mm-hmm. At that point, we pause the film, and now we turn up the house lights inside the theater, and we invite the assembled audience to participate in sort of a town hall meeting about the same subject. And we hear their points of view as well as what we've heard from the jury on film. We also will select 12 people from that audience to be escorted backstage to the green room, where they too will be sequestered and have their own independent deliberation. And eventually they'll be brought back into the theater to report on their decision.
Mm-hmm. And will the audience know that this is happening before before that happens? Yes.
Yeah, we're gonna tell them up front that at the appropriate time we're gonna select 12 of them to be a part of that jury deliberation. And so the general body, all of those who are assembled there in the theater at a certain point, are then asked to vote themselves for either the plaintiff or the defendant in this case. And after we get the result of that voting there in the audience, we go back to the film and we get the verdict of the actual jury on film. So you end up with three verdicts in the end. You have the jury on film, you have the 12 people who were taken into the green room, and you also have the general audience vote as well.
Mm. And there are so many issues you could tackle with that kind of format. Why was The Case of the N-Word one that you wanted to focus attention on?
That's a great question. I have for a long time been fascinated with the whole dynamic of jury deliberations. I know that after speaking with both Johnny Cochran and Alan Dershowitz in two separate conversations on two separate coasts, they both articulated the same opinion to me, which was that in all the years of practicing law, the one thing they could tell me nothing about is what happens on the other side of that door. And so that, as a general premise, has always been fascinating to me. To focus in on the N-word was important because I think the use of the term itself, the N-word, in very many ways is a cop-out because it does not remove the essence of the definition of the word from our communication with each other. I have said the euphemism, the N-word, but you know what I'm referring to without me having to actually say the word. And so I wanted to try to put that dynamic on trial. I wanted to try to get a cross-section of people to express themselves and hopefully reach some sort of consensus. Now, we don't expect the decision to be a lasting one, but we do think it's an opportunity for people to go a little bit deeper in their thought about this subject than perhaps we ordinarily do.
Right. And I'm curious, because you've done this format in other cities, if people in the audience stuck with the protocol, if everyone used the N-word, or if people said the word, or just what the range of experience and emotion was in those rooms?
Well, as you might imagine, there is certainly a generational divide with respect to the use of that word. We often hear older people articulate the pains of the past and some very ugly experiences that folks have had within their own personal history that makes that word very offensive to them. And when then, contrastly, we hear often younger people talk about their reclaiming of the word and how a more liberal use of the word somehow will defang it and take away the sting and make it less of a problem within our public discourse. And I think there's merit on both sides of the argument. But what's fascinating to me is when you see that there are people from either of those camps who have completely different perspectives. There are older people who think that the word really should not be given such import in our minds. And there are younger people who are very steadfast in their opposition to the word. So you really cannot presume what a person's perspective is going to be. And of course, we also know that the word now has transcended the African-American application, such that there are people in other ethnic groups who either use the word as a term of endearment amongst themselves or use it pejoratively as well, but not necessarily hurled at African-Americans. So the word has transcended whatever its original etymology was, to mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people.
I'm also wondering what it means to you as an African-American living in the 21st century, if it's been a part of an experience that's just abstract in your mind, or if you have personal connection.
Well, yes. Obviously, like many black people, I have a personal connection with the word. But I think, you know, with respect to the most immediate events that are happening today, we might ask ourselves, when Trayvon Martin was killed, or when Michael Brown was killed, or dare say there in Cleveland, when Tamir Rice was killed, I have not read any testimony, seen any evidence that suggests that their assailants used the N-word prior to taking their lives. That does not necessarily mean that their assailants didn't see them in that light. It simply means that they didn't articulate that particular word as they carried out the act of committing a homicide, let's call it. I won't call it murder. And so it's important to me to really deal with the essence of the word more so than it is to deal with the vocabulary itself. If you see the color red, but I ask you to describe it without using the word red, you might have some difficulty, but that doesn't mean that the color doesn't exist. And so I think with respect to this word, the N-word, we've got to decide whether or not we're going to get hung up on the word itself, or what is it that we're going to do with its essence within our public discourse.
Yeah, what's been internalized so that the language may be more polite, but the intent is still
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking when you were talking about jury rooms earlier, I read that you have a law degree and are a member of the bar in a couple of different states. Have you been a practicing lawyer?
No, I have been a television and film producer for the better part of 25 years and enjoy that line of work. I've had some modicum of success with it. And a part of, I guess, a stage in my career now where I think it's important to apply those skills to more substantive matters and create vehicles that give the public an opportunity to really think twice and think long and hard about how we deal with various social issues. And so Trial by Jury was created to be an ongoing franchise that would allow me not only to litigate the N-word, but dozens of other very, you know, topical issues that we're currently contending with in society.
Yeah, and that was where I was going next, because I'm wondering what you see down the road as other things that could fit into the trial by jury format and then create a continuing series of dialogues in various communities.
Yes, that is certainly the plan. We, as you mentioned, we have been moving around from city to city. I'm very proud of the fact that the Apollo Theater has now expressed an interest in bringing the production to New York. And there's also some talk about perhaps partnering with a broadcast partner so that this now becomes a TV series.
Mm.
It has already been seen on one of the PBS affiliates in Philadelphia, but we're talking about a national partnership now for broadcast. So we're very excited about the future for the franchise.
Outstanding. And I'm wondering if, looking ahead to the event here in town on March 11th at Cuyahoga Community College, is there advice that you would give to the audience in terms of what they should come prepared to do?
I would ask people to come with an open mind. Often I've seen folks arrive with a very definitive perspective on the use of the N-word, but because of the facts of the case, because of the testimony of the witnesses at trial, because of the dialogue between the jury, and because of the town hall discussion, a number of people have expressed a different opinion than the one that they arrived with. And so I would ask people to come with an open mind, listen to the facts. We know that the discussion will transcend the specific facts of this case. Obviously, the decision is being made about whether or not this little girl has been harmed by this school, but the conversation goes way beyond those two parties, and it goes to some historical significance of the word. It goes to, you know, the hip-hop community and their use of the word. It goes to a lot of tangential issues that aren't really specific to this case. And I would ask people to come to this event with an open mind and prepare to really do some soul-searching.
Great. Kyle, thank you for providing the opportunity and the forum to have the discussion. It's a great pleasure to talk with you.
Well, I want to thank you and IdeaStream, and obviously I want to thank Tri-C, Cuyahoga Community College, for their support of the event. And I look forward to seeing everyone in Cleveland Friday at 7:30.